Shalom Aleichem, welcome. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Shkalim Tes, Shkalim 9a, pagination, page 17, towards the bottom, a new Mishnah. Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel, the house of Rabbi Gamliel, Hayonichnas, they would come in when the tithe was being taken of the Machatzis HaShekel, V'shaklu Bein Etzba Osav, holding the shekel that they are contributing, V'zarku lefnei HaTorim, they threw their coin towards the person who was doing the tithe, V'HaTorim miskavein, and the person doing the tithe would purposely, dachfa l'soch hakupa, bounce theirs into the basket. They were particularly motivated in the mitzvah, and they wanted that their coin should actually make it into the basket, and not just be within the odds of possibility that their coin would be chosen. They wanted it actually to make it, so they made their contribution during the tithe so that it was traceable and they would try to get it in. And we'll see later that this apparently was viewed as a praise, that they were extra motivated to participate in the mitzvah. Eina torim torim, the person didn't actually tithe the coins of Machatzis HaShekel in that room. Achu omer lohem etrom, until he told the people there, shall I do it? Vehin omrim lo, and they told him emphatically, terom, 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 shalosh pa'amim, three times they said, go do the tithe. Torim sarishona, he did the tithe, v'chipa bekat v'lios, and he covered it with leather so that those coins that would become the bottom of the room were covered. They had been tithed, and the baskets that he took out of the coins they would use for karbanos was the tithe for those coins. Hashaniya, later contributions would come as they came from far out areas, and they would be put into the same room, but now they would be layered on top of the first leather. V'chipa bekat v'lios, and when they did the second tithe, they would cover those coins with a leather. V'ashlishis lo yamechape, the third tithe already, they just took them out, and they didn't have to cover it, because the new coins weren't being kept track of anymore. They didn't do another tithe purposely. V'lom al yamechape, why was it covered? Shema yishkech v'yitum in adavar atarum, because otherwise something that was already tithed could end up in the basket, tithing something that was not yet tithed, and you can't do that. You have to tithe using things that were not yet tithed, and from the same category, you're taking the tithe. You have this, by the way, by taking challah as well, that when the kashrus agencies designate matzah or challah that they're putting in place that should be truma on the batch that's going at that point, they have to be using untithed. So they purposely go ahead and bake matzah for this purpose from which challah was not yet taken, in order that they could use that matzah to tithe the produce that's currently being made, which the reason you're tithing it is because it wasn't yet tithed. Okay. Torah is a rishon l'shem Eretz Yisrael. The focus on the first tithing, which we described, was for the purpose of Eretz Yisrael, because those were the local people, and presumably their coins were predominantly in that first batch. V'ashniyah l'shem krachim amukafim la, and the second batch was for the nearby cities. V'ashlishis l'shem bavel l'shem modeh l'shem medinas hayom, medinas harachokos, and the third one was dominantly for the far out places. And the Gemara explains that even though essentially every one of the tithes was for the entire Jewish people, whichever coins are there, whichever coins are going to come, it was all a very expansive type of intent. Nevertheless, when they took the third tithe, they used to call it, oh, and now the far out coins have finally come, and we're going to tithe them, in order that everybody should feel in a very practical way that their contribution makes a difference. A drop down on Amud Beis, about five lines, And the Gemara makes an observation. Shlishis, the third tithe, which was dominantly the coins that finally made it from far out places, hihaisa ashira shebechulon, it was the most wealthy tithe of all. Shahayuba asterios shalzov edarchono shalzov, because it had the golden coins. Remember, the local people gave their machatzis hashekel in silver, and they just sent it straight in. But we learnt that the far out people would transfer their coins into golden coins in order that it would be easier for the messengers to carry them. And therefore, when they did that third tithe, which was heavily dominated by the golden coins, so the same three baskets are going to hold much greater wealth as a result of the fact that they were transferring their coins into smaller but more valuable currency. Let's drop down to about 20 lines down. The first word on the line is Vishokel, which is the opinion of the first part of a brisa that's quoted, that if they ran out of coins from the baskets that they tithed according to the sequence described, then they would send out a new tax because everything that was in that room had already been tithed and was not considered usable for karbanos. Rabbi Meir says, however, chozer l'shirayim, you go back to the leftovers from what was left after it was tithed, and you take coins from there if you need them. Shahayu Rav Meir Omer, and this was Rav Meir's opinion, mo'alim b'shirayim, you have to treat the leftovers after the tithe as me'ila, as stealing from Kodesh, even though they're leftovers and they're not going to be used for the karbanos, probably, shema yitzdarchu lehen b'sof, because it could always be that it will be needed in the end, and therefore they were extra careful on the possibility that they might be needed for the karbanos to consider it the level of me'ila. Now the Gemara continues with the famous quote of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, on which the Mesilas Yesharim is based, and there are a number of suggestions as to why this statement of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is here. Culling from the Korban HaEda and the Taklin Chadatin, one approach is, just as they were excessively careful that the person who took the tithe shouldn't be accused of stealing, so Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair starts off with Zerizus, with the theme of being very careful, Zehirus and Zerizus, being very careful with mitzvahs and doing them just the right way. Another suggestion is that Rabbi Meir is telling us on the possibility that maybe we're going to need those shkalim, you should be careful to treat them with the same sacredness as original machatzis hashekel from which the karbanos would be brought. And that's a caution to make sure everything's right. And another suggestion is that this is referring to Rabban Gamliel, with which we started today's session in the beginning of the Mishnah, because they wanted to do the machatzis hashekel in the best possible way. And you see a motivational type of service, which either is the start of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair's Zerizus Zehirus, or possibly a person who has Zehirus and Zerizus will eventually arrive at something like Chasidus, a higher level, where they're actually appropriate to be, like Beis Rabbi Gamliel, extremely motivated. In any case, the statement of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair shows up over here. And one thing to be aware in this statement of sequence of growth in Torah and service is that sometimes it's counterintuitive. One would not think, for example, that someone who becomes so great would become the quintessential humble person. or if someone that great would be so afraid of sin. But actually, someone that great becomes more afraid of sin. He appreciates the humanity of the person and the risk of falling and how susceptible we are, and therefore such a person, as they become greater, is actually more careful. V'chein hayu Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Omer, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair taught as follows. Zurizus, which Mesilas Yesharim says really is both the positive and the negative, to be zahir, to avoid bad things, and zurizus, to be motivated and do quickly the good things. Mevi'a l'dei nekiyos, will bring a person to nekiyos. Nekiyos means clean. And essentially the message over here is that if a person is a zariz, he will eventually arrive just by being motivated. He'll just keep rising until such point that he actually has a clean slate and every mitzvah is done with cleanliness, with proper, even small imperfections will be pulled out from his service. Nekiyos mevi'a l'dei taira, the result is that his neshama becomes pure. Tahora mevi'a l'dei kedusha, the result is that his heart and his intent becomes kadosh, holy. Kedusha mevi'a l'dei anava, that holiness produces a humble person. Anava mevi'a l'dei yiras chet, the humility brings a person to be fear, to a point of fearing sin. He's less confident in himself. He won't take the same types of risks that a less elevated person might take very casually without realizing the ramifications. Yiras chet mevi'a l'dei chasidus, fear of Hashem. Fear of sin brings a person to chasidus, which is either an extra special level of service, going the extra mile, or Taklan Chadatin describes chasidus as doing things besimcha, doing it joyously, which is actually what the modern Hasidic movement took on as their slogan, to do things besimcha, with joy. Chasidus mevi'a l'dei ruach hakodesh, chasidus brings a person to an extra gift of Ruach HaKodesh. The Karban Oedah says, if you go the extra mile for the mitzvah, so Hashem gives you shalo kederach hateva, not natural, unnatural, supernatural, amazing gifts. And Ruach HaKodesh mevi'a l'dei tichias hameisim, Ruach HaKodesh, that extra special relationship with Hashem, brings to Tchias HaMesim, and Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, Mevi'a l'dei Eliyahu Zachor Latov, brings a person to a commonality with Eliyahu, where the difference between life and death is blurred, because Eliyahu did not actually die. Eliyahu Zachor Latov should be remembered for good. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.